This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prizm, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour one on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Morale is high. We're fired up. You can be involved with the Celebrity Bracket Challenge. The Bracket Challenge, powered by NetSuite, is live right now at foxsportsradio.com. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. And this first hour brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. They will help you get a job. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Check out expresspros.com to find the location nearest you. That's expresspros.com. Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question, all of that forthcoming. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you for downloading the app. It's the first four tonight. You have Virginia, Colorado State. You have Howard versus Wagner. We'll talk about that coming up. And when you think about the first four play-in games of the tournament, we think of non-threatening teams. But ever since they did this back in 2011, that's when they expanded, that's when they added the first four. That hasn't necessarily been the case, though, of non-threatening. There's been 12 tournaments since they started this, and the first four has produced 12 total teams that have made it to at least the round of 32. And then you have the Cinderella possibility. Go back to 2011. That's when VCU, an 11th seed, made that miracle run to the Final Four with Shaka Smart. Syracuse, LaSalle, and Tennessee, they made it to the Sweet 16 as double-digit seeds. And most recently, 11th-seeded UCLA went to the Final Four. We haven't seen a first four go to the championship game, but after watching two number one seeds go down in the round of 64 over the last decade, anything's possible. And it is fun tonight to watch. Now, I think sometimes we go, the tournament doesn't really start until Thursday, and I certainly understand that because these games are standalone games. Although, if let's say you're Howard or Wagner, you get the night to yourself. If you were playing Purdue and all of a sudden Purdue's up by 32, they're going to switch to another game. You get a standalone game tonight. Howard versus Wagner, standalone, and Virginia against Colorado State, standalone games. Take advantage of those. And yes, you are on the outside of the tournament. We don't fill out our brackets. We don't fill them out starting today, including tonight or tomorrow. But it is fun to be able to have some basketball. And Colorado State is favored by 3 tonight. Wagner is getting 3.5 versus Howard. I'm looking at the early lopsided bets. You have Connecticut against Stetson. 87% of the bets are on Connecticut, and Connecticut's giving 26.5. 84% of the bets, according to DraftKings, are on Kentucky, 13.5 favorites against Oakland. 83% of the bets are on Houston, minus 24.5 versus Longwood. And 81% of the bets are on Colorado. They're giving 2.5 to Boise State. So just some of the action leading up to Thursday and Friday. And you have the games coming up tonight. Colorado State, Virginia, Wagner getting 3 versus Howard. 877-3-DP-SHOW. Email address is dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. And Operator Tyler standing by to take your phone calls. Seton, how about a poll question?
Shall we?
Sure.
Shall we? More dominant Davis in their field, Reese or Seth? Let's just get it out there.
Okay, we have Seth Davis from CBS, and we have Reese Davis from the Mother Day.
Which is more dominant in their field?
I hate doing this to Seth Davis because Reese is from the mothership and Seth is coming up next. Reese is next hour.
Both are great guys.
I guess I could say Seth this hour and then I could say Reese next hour.
Sort of, you're going recency bias.
Recency.
Oh, dang.
Bloop.
Well done.
Thank you, Todd.
Seth and bias.
Well, Reese does College Game Day and he does the College Game Day with football and College Game Day with basketball. Seth is a well-known, highly regarded author.
Well, you could throw in a Chili Davis if you want. We could expand it to the other Davises.
Yeah, Chili Davis.
Davis Love the Third, if you wanted to throw him in there as well.
Terrell Davis.
Thank you, Todd.
Eric Davis.
Okay.
Walter Davis. Hubert Davis.
This is right up the top. Yeah.
Go ahead. Hubert.
All right, Hugh.
Mark Davis. Okay. Willie Davis. Glenn Davis. Astro first baseman.
Okay.
Dick Davis. Believe he played for the Brewers late 70s, early 80s.
Sure.
Brian Davis, basketball player.
Keep it going.
And Ricky Davis, I believe, played for the Clippers.
Okay. All right.
Hey, that's a couple of Davis.
Thank you, Todd.
Davis is right there.
Yeah, that's true. Have we had two guests on with the same last name on this show, Todd?
I'd have to check. I would think it had to have happened at least once.
We must two. Have, right?
This is some common last names that just kind of fell in that way.
Like two Krzyzewskis?
Exactly.
That didn't happen.
Frankie Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
He's on.
Yeah, Charles Krzyzewski.
Yeah. Charles Krzyzewski. All righty.
How about this one, then?
Okay.
Two Davises enter the octagon. Which one's coming out? Reese or Seth?
They're both nice guys.
Seth is sneaky ripped.
I think so.
I think he's like, okay. I think Reese is sneaky strong, but I think Seth is probably super chiseled.
Okay. I'm going to leave that to your imagination.
Yeah.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, I've never seen Reese Davis upset. I don't even know if he's got it in him. He's such a gentleman.
Yeah.
He's in good shape, but like, I don't think he throws punches.
Yeah. I don't know if Seth Davis gets upset either. I know his alma mater gets upset occasionally, Duke. Yes, Tom.
I could picture Seth Davis getting angry. Maybe something with the eyebrows, if he just kind of made a certain facial expression where maybe on the set there, Clark Kellogg said something to tick him off.
Okay, Tom.
Okay, how about this? Where would you rather watch the first 4 days of the tournament? At the game or at a game or a sportsbook? Paul sent this one over.
I would say a sportsbook.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that atmosphere there, and you get to watch all the games. You don't have to. If you go to a game, if the game's not good, you're stuck. But if you go to the sports book, then you're not stuck. So I would say going to the sports.
Kind of better than the local bar, too.
Better.
Like your local bar. I just keep doing it.
Yeah, you're setting me up.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? Which Davis would you rather watch the first four games with? Hannah. What?
Hannah Davis?
I'm going to go Hannah Davis, then, if that's on the list.
Derek Jeter's wife? Is that Hannah Davis?
I think correct. So, right?
Swimsuit?
The DirecTV genie back in the day.
Okay. Swimsuit model. Slow down Todd.
Who's the genie?
I know. We're 8 minutes in. You're on fire.
Yesterday, I didn't speak till like 10:48:09 or something.
Pace yourself. Right. Pace yourself.
Now, we've already ripped through four poll questions, too. We're just shot out of a cannon this morning.
Okay. So Seth Davis will join us coming up. And Reese Davis will then join us the following hour. Remember when we heard the story, or at least there was a report, maybe a rumor, something was leaked by the NCAA that they were considering expanding to 96 schools. I don't think that this was an accident that it got out there. What happens a lot of times with leagues, and I think the NFL is really good at doing this, they'll give something, you know, information to an insider, and then the insider then throws it out. And then the NFL reacts, you know, went to our reactions or the media's reaction, fans' reaction. And I think that's what happened with the NCAA. You know, we're at 68. Then there was talk of 96. And I remember asking Jim Boeheim. Jim Boeheim said, yeah, I'm all for it. We asked Mike Krzyzewski last week. He goes, no. You got to be careful. You don't want to ruin, you know, you got a great thing going here. This is what I think will happen. 96 isn't going to happen. Not now. But let's say they added four more play-in games. I don't think anybody would be upset at that. Right? Maybe we start our games Tuesday afternoon and then Wednesday afternoon. And they would be at the same site, same location. And I think that might be a way of, let's say we expand it to 70, 76, 78 teams, something like that. We're not getting to 96, at least I don't think we are, but I do think we're going to expand the tournament. And keep this in mind with the NCAA, this is their moneymaker. This is where they make their revenue. And why wouldn't you expand? We're looking at college football with the playoffs. They haven't even gotten to 12, and they're already getting to 14 a couple of years later. The amount of money that's there, the NCAA understands that as well as anybody, and that's why I think we'll expand the tournament. I just don't think we're going to expand to 96. And I hope they don't, because that's why you have a regular season. Everybody gets the opportunity to play in March Madness. All you have to do is win your tournament. You get an automatic bid. Why have a regular season if you're going to have 96 schools that go in? The conference tournament, win it, and you're going to go in. Even if you don't win it, you could still make March Madness. I don't think we have to make it, you know, a participation-type trophy for everybody. Hey, I remember somebody with the NCAA said the following to me. That, you know, I was talking about the bowl games. And they said, well, you know, we want people to, we want these kids to come away with winning. You know, they probably lost their last game, and now you get to play in a bowl game. To which I said to the person with the NCAA, well, what about the team that loses the bowl game to the team that gets to have a win in their last game? He said, I didn't think of that. I go, well, it just seems kind of obvious that, yeah, everybody gets to win a game. You know, we don't need participatory trophies. Not with this. I mean, some of it has to be cutthroat. Some of us have, I mean, that's what we love about it. Not everybody gets in. You got St. John's upset, Seton Hall upset, Pittsburgh's upset. You know, they want to get in. And at what point do you go, hey, you can't complain. If you get to 96, I don't want to hear any school saying, we got jobbed here. All right, if we add 4 more, 8 more, 12 more schools, okay, you're still going to get some, you know, coaches, fan base who are like, you know, we got screwed here. It feels like the story of this year's tournament is about the seeding of certain schools, certain conferences. Now, I think the Big East is the second best conference basketball-wise. Do I only get 3 schools out of there? I think that's unfair. You know, it feels like the NCAA was favoring certain conferences over others, but Big East is still great basketball there. And I can understand why Seton Hall and St. John's would be disappointed. Pittsburgh would be disappointed not getting in. But you do have the opportunity to get in. Like, if Seton Hall wins a game, Seton Hall is in the tournament. St. John's, you know, they took Connecticut as, you know, far as they could and lost a close one. Yeah, Seton.
It is interesting, to the expansion point, in that you can have a team that doesn't get in that still beat the number one overall seed and beat Marquette, who's a 2 seed, yeah, and beat St. John's twice,
yeah,
and they still aren't good enough to get into the tournament. I guess it speaks to the parity to some degree.
Yeah, and that's what they want. I mean, they want the fact. I don't think that they want a number one overall seed that everybody thinks is going to win again. I think that they want to have that, oh my gosh, that kind of tournament there. And it feels like we're having more and more of that. You know, people said Providence should be in. That's another Big East. Indiana State, Oklahoma. You know, I get it. But, you know, at what point do you say it's about you, not about the, you know, the selection committee? But I do think that we'll expand. We always expand in every sport, and we'll do that with March Madness. But, you know, the first four in, I'll watch. I'm always curious if there's somebody there. And a lot of this is you're going to get introduced to players. Although there is a player, and Seton brought this up a couple of, maybe it was a week ago, and he was, everybody recognizes Caitlin Clark, you know, the great scorer, but Seton brought up a player from Nebraska. Now, he's a senior there. Is it Kasai Tominaga?
Casey.
Oh, it is Casey.
Yeah, it's like Casey, yeah.
Oh, it is, okay. Well, he's from Japan. He's a senior. I watched his highlight reel last night.
Yeah, that dude is awesome.
He is not afraid, and he is a sniper. I don't know how far they go, but, man, is he fun to watch. Left-hander, and he's got range. You know, certain guys, when they shoot, or even women, and when they make it, it's like they made it inside of a basket, inside of a basket. It was that, you know, dead on, and he shoots that way. Now, I think he averages like 15 a game, but if you get a chance and you watch his highlights, he's a lot of fun. And that's what's, you know, the beauty of this, but it's also, yeah, you know, to the detriment of the tournament where you're going, oh, wow, that guy, man, he's interesting or he's good. Yeah, he's one and done. And we have quite a few of those. Yes, Paulie.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. He played high school basketball in Japan. Then he came here and played at a small school called Ranger College, and then got picked up by Nebraska. Now he's their star.
But there's other players. RJ Davis at North Carolina. Caleb Love, who was at North Carolina, going to Arizona. You have Zach Edey, of course, at Purdue. Tyler Colick, the Marquette guard, who was, I think he's been the Big East Player of the Year maybe 2 years, but he's been injured. So there's some players that you're going to get introduced to. Cam Spencer at UConn. Like, there's every year there's like that guy who stands out or that team that stands out. That's the fun part of this. And we'll talk to Seth Davis about that coming up. All right, phone calls are welcome. And we'll settle on our poll question here. Just getting started on this Tuesday. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
You know, as the host of the number one rated Pauly and Tony Fusco show, we get tons and tons of fan mail every day.
Piles of it.
In fact, Tony, why don't you open up one of those letters right now and read what's inside?
Yeah, listen to this. Dear Pauly and Tony, your sports takes are the dumbest and most terrible.
Wait, not that
wait,
one.
Wait,
open this other one.
Dear Pauly and Tony, you suck more than anyone.
Not that one.
Wait.
Try this one.
Dear Pauly and Tony, you guys are the absolute best.
There you go.
At coming up with the stupidest takes
possible.
You know
what? Possible. Just forget what those clowns say. Just listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Here's a question that has come up. Usually comes up at this time of the year. Every year at this time, we ask, well, wait a minute. You have 16 seeds. They're playing Tuesday night, Wednesday. Why don't you have 16s play against 16s? As opposed to 16s playing against an 11 seed or a 10 seed. Here is Marvin with the answer.
All right, so the NCAA selects the lowest four ranked at-large programs to play for a 10 seed, mm-hmm. and the four lowest ranked automatic qualifiers to play for two 16 seed spots.
Okay. That clears that up. Yes, Paul?
I always wondered because you think there's a bunch of 16s playing the next 2 days. You think there'd be a bunch of 15s playing the lowest ranked teams of the tournament, be the play-in games. So that means if you are the lowest ranked at-large bid, you automatically get the 10th seed, Marvin?
That is correct. If you barely get in, you have to play in the play-in games.
Huh.
Let's bring in Seth Davis, CBS Sports, college basketball studio analyst, reporter, author, all-around good guy. Joins us on the program. All right, Seth, we were just talking about that, the first four in. Did they ever think about having 16s play against one another?
Yeah, well, of course, you have two games with the 16s against each other and two with the at-larges. Let me just say one small correction. There's no predetermined designation for what seed number you are. This is actually very unusual. It's almost always for 11 seeds.
Okay.
We actually were talking about this in the studio going into the selection show because I saw some of the mock brackets had like the last four in as 10 seeds. And the reason is we had five. We actually thought it was going to be four bid fees, right? These are teams like a Duquesne. So Dayton was going to be in regardless. So if Dayton won the Atlantic 10 is a one bid league because Duquesne won the Atlantic 10. Now there's two teams from the A10 and Duquesne would not have been an at-large. So Duquesne is a bid thief. Last year, there was one bid thief. Year before, there were two, which forces the committee to scramble. This year, there were five. That never happens. So there's two implications for that. First of all, although the first five teams that were out, the first teams out, you know, St. John's and Seton Hall and all these teams, Pittsburgh complaining about not getting in, they would have been in, but for these bid thieves. And then the other thing is, you know, Duquesne may win the Atlantic 10, but that doesn't mean they're going in as a seven seed. They're going to be seeded according to their overall body of work, which was where it ended up on the, I believe, the 11 line. So that bumped up the last four into 10 seeds. So I'm a bracket nerd, but basically, you know, there's this conversation because, Dan, this tournament's going to expand. Whether we like it or not, it's going to expand. They're going to add games to Tuesday and Wednesday. My guess is this could be the last tournament at this size. If it doesn't happen next year, it's going to happen soon. So they're probably going to add eight teams, and they're just going to add games to Tuesday and Wednesday. That's it. They're not going to 96. And so there's this conversation of, well, do you put in, you know, well, that should go to the power conference last at large teams because we want, you know, the mid majors to be able to get in. The problem is that means that all those power conference teams that come from big markets, big brands that fans actually want to watch, I mean, everyone wants to watch everything, they're out of the tournament before Thursday starts. So this was the compromise at having two games with the 16s and two games with the at-larges. And let me just add one more thing. Every time a team plays in the NCAA tournament, it gets a unit. It's like a unit for its league. It's like $1 million. And it's paid out over, I think, 6 years through the conference. So if you're in the first four and you win, that means you get two units. So these 16 seeds, for them, that's a nice little chunk of change that the winner's going to get.
Give me the team that has the best gripe not getting in.
Oh, I think none of them, man. I mean, honestly, like, I don't want to hear it, Dan. I don't want to hear it. It's like, win the games and don't be on the bubble. And I think it's really disrespectful. Look, I can quibble. I had Seton Hall and Oklahoma in, okay? And I had Virginia out, and I had one other team out. I think I actually got my numbers wrong, but Seton Hall and Oklahoma were my first two out, okay? But the thing is, like, if you're going to be a coach and you're saying, oh, that's BS and the analytics are BS and the Nets, like, call up Tony Bennett and tell him his team doesn't deserve to be in. Call up Nico Medved at Colorado State and say their team doesn't. The Mountain West is complaining our seeds got screwed. And by the way, New Mexico, we weren't talking about New Mexico as a bid thief, but we now know if New Mexico hadn't won the Mountain West Conference Tournament Championship game, it would not have gotten in, and the Mountain West teams got seeded a lot lower than we expected, and they think that they got screwed. And by the way, nobody wants to expand. It's almost like people like to complain, Dan. I don't know. Maybe it's you're on the radio. You wouldn't know about that. So,
but expansion takes away from the complaints.
No, it doesn't, because whoever the first teams that are left out are going
to
complain.
You think if we get to 76?
Of course. You think number 77 is not going to complain? You think number 78 is not going to complain? You think their fans aren't going to, you know, the commissioners and whoever? I mean, it's just, we're just moving a goalpost. Mm-hmm. Same thing's going to happen in football when whatever number they settle on, whoever doesn't get in. Was Florida State happy? Right? So this is the nature of the beast. We like to complain. And fortunately, beginning tonight, we have games to talk about.
Players that we should learn about, or we will be learning about. Give me three or four.
Okay, so sort of at the mid-major level, Tucker DeVries at Drake reminds me a lot of Doug McDermott. He's a 6'7", inside-out guy, great three-point shooter. He's an absolute bucket, sixth in the country at scoring, and like Doug McDermott, plays for his dad. You know that I like narratives. Grant Cannon is another one of my sleeper guys. Tyon Grant Foster, if they get through, is their leading scorer. They're coached by Bryce Drew. We all remember from the great shot that he hit. They won the regular season in the WAC. They won the tournament, third tournament in 4 years. So that's a good thing to go with. But 2 years ago, Tyon Grant Foster was playing for DePaul, collapsed in the locker room during a game with a major heart issue. Thought that his career is done. And now he's one of the best players. And I'll just looking down at my bracket, I'll tell you somebody to watch out for. If it happens, I talked about this on the selection show, is Caleb Love. Caleb Love is the guard who was the hero of North Carolina's run to the Final Four. People forget that North Carolina actually did not have a very good season. They were kind of on the bubble until about mid-February. They got hot, and everything Caleb Love threw up went in, took them all the way to the Final Four. Last year, they had a disaster. He was definitely part of the problem. He wasn't the only part of the problem, but he was part of the problem. Transferred to Arizona, and now they're the 1 and 2 seeds in the West. So in my perfect world, where I like compelling narratives, Arizona and North Carolina will play to go to a Final Four in what will forever be known as the Caleb Love game.
We're talking to Seth Davis.
That's cruel. That'd be kind of cruel to the kid to be in that situation.
Yes. But CBS Sports College basketball studio analyst and reporter. Give me the number one seed that you don't think will get to the Final Four.
Well, you know, North Carolina is the fourth number one seed. So if you're looking at that, you know, UConn, Houston, and Purdue all season long, the nerds who cover the sport, we call them the big three because they really separated themselves from the field. And then it was kind of a revolving door as to who was four. You know, who could be dangerous in that West region is Baylor. Not like a great defensive team like he's had in the past, but they can really score the ball. Another name to watch out for, Jacoby Walters, a freshman. He'll be an NBA lottery pick. And I have to say, you know, I only get like 4 minutes to fill out my bracket before the start of the show. And why not? Because the more you think about it, the worse you do.
True.
But I have to say, look, it's hard to get to a Final Four, but for Purdue, they could potentially, there's two teams in that region, in Creighton and Tennessee, that are the embodiment of the teams that would give Purdue a problem. Creighton, to me, has a real good chance to go to a Final Four. One of the things, a couple of things could bother Purdue. First of all, good perimeter scores. They're not a great perimeter defensive team, although they're a little bit better. Obviously, you need somebody big inside to bother Edey. And, you know, Zach Edey absolutely lives at the foul line. This has been one of those annoying conversations as well. So Creighton has a player, a 7'1" center named Ryan Kalkbrenner, who's one of the best defensive centers in the country. And he's also a good scorer. He can draw Edey away from the basket. And Creighton is also ranked number one in the country on KenPom on defensive free throw rate. So they commit the fewest fouls per possession of any team in the country. If Purdue plays Creighton, but, you know, Tennessee has a dynamic scorer in Dalton Connect. He's a transfer from Northern Colorado. Big, big time scorer. One of the real surprises. And they're still an elite defensive team. So if Purdue plays either one of those teams, look, it's hard to get to a Final Four, but those are two teams that are well constructed to beat Purdue.
We're seeing college football coaches, frustration with NIL, transfer portal. How has it affect college basketball? I know Jay Wright bowed out at Villanova after a great career. I don't know if, you know, transfer portal and NIL was affecting that decision. And what kind of money is available in college basketball when it comes to collectives and NIL?
Well, it's certainly a lot less than football. Football is just bigger in general. There's just more money in football. And of course, there are a lot more players. So, you know, at the high end, somebody like Hunter Dickens, the real money in NIL is in the transfer portal. The high school kids aren't making as much. Somebody coming into Duke next year, Cooper Flagg, is get ready for a lot of Cooper Flagg, man. He's incredible. Yeah, of course it's not that they're not frustrated because of NIL and the transfer portal and all that. They're frustrated that there's no one, forget about no one's hands at the wheel. There's no wheel. There's no car. There's no tires. There's no radio. There's nothing. And so we've gone from nothing being allowed to everything being allowed because everybody saw these changes coming over the last 20 years and nobody did a thing to prepare for it. Nobody did a thing. Okay, we're going to do here. So now what they need to do, what we need to do is just completely rip this Band-Aid off and make it professional. Declare them employees, let them unionize, get a collective bargaining agreement. Once you get a CBA in place, you can't get sued. So the NCAA can't even apply the most basic rule. Like the rule was you can't use NIL in recruiting. And so they tried to penalize Tennessee for doing that. And now that the judge says, oh, you can't do that. So even the obvious rules that everybody knows are unenforceable. So the sooner we get there, the better. And then we can just manage what it is. I see kind of a generational divide in the coaches that I talk to. You know, the older coaches are like, this sucks. It shouldn't be this way. It's not how it used to be. And the younger ones are like, well, how can I function in this new system? Because this is what it is.
Has Danny Hurley become the face of college basketball on the men's side?
The sneering, sarcastic, sardonic face of college basketball. Let me say this about Danny Hurley. I love the guy. So there have been two teams that have repeated as national champs since John Wooden at UCLA. Duke in 1992, Florida in 2007. In both cases, they basically brought back the entire team intact. UConn from last year's team, they lost three starters, all who are playing in the NBA, and they lost five of their top eight scorers because two other guys transferred. Five of their top eight left that team, and they are the clear favorite going into this tournament. So what he's doing, and he took over a program that was in dire straits after the Kevin Ollie disaster. So, you know, whether he's the face of the sport, look, you still have Patino, you still have Izzo, Bill Self, they're having a rough time with injuries. So whether or not he's the face of the sport, he was my choice, clearly, for National Coach of the Year, because we should not underappreciate what he has done with this team this season.
Great to talk to you. We'll catch up with you when the tournament starts. Thank you, Seth.
Love you, Dan.
Seth Davis, CBS Sports College Basketball Studio Analyst and Reporter. In fact, he helped Rex Chapman write his book. I already got the headline when UConn, if they win the national title, would be 2Con. Like go back to back.
Dang. Love that.
Yeah.
T-shirt.
Yeah. We're ready for our T-shirts here.
Now it's on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I did the hard part.
Yeah.
I came up with the title.
Yeah, anyone can play basketball.
Yeah. Now go out and just win it. All right, Seton, did we settle on a poll question?
Did we ever, Dan?
Did
we ever?
Oh.
Yeah, I put up there, where would you rather watch the first 4 days of the tournament, at the games or a sports book? Sportsbook has 71% of the audience. Right now, more dominant in their field is Reese by quite a large margin. And if you enter the octagon, who's coming out? Reese as well. He's winning 70% on both votes. He's dominating Seth right now.
Yeah.
I feel badly about that.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely crushing.
All right. Well, Reese Davis will join us. No relation to Seth Davis, but he'll join us coming up next hour. Yes, Paul?
I just got a note from one of my guys out in Vegas who works at a casino. He said, in the old days, men and women could just come to the sports books and set up shop and drink and eat and watch games for 13 hours, which is fantastic. It's the best 4 days of the year in Vegas. Now, if you go to some of the nicer sports books, you have to kind of rent a table area, and it could be $50 a head. So let's say you and your eight buddies want to set up shop. You have to pay, you know, $400 for the place for the day and then your food and drink. But if you're gambling, a lot of the drinks are free.
Mm.
Pretty cool, though.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't experienced that because I think when it was available to do it, gambling wasn't, you know, as out in the open. And, you know, being a sports center anchor, I didn't want to go into a sports book and, you know, be peppered with questions there. And I, you know, was in my 12-step recovery to being a gambler. So probably not the best place to go is, yeah, let me, even when we were at the Fontainebleau and we went into a restaurant there and they had a sports book there. And I remember, I forget who asked me, but they said, man, you can walk right over there and place a bet. Was that you, Paulie?
Were you
my gateway drug to?
I asked if you want to get down on the Iowa women's game.
Yes. And he goes, you can go right over there. And I go, yeah.
There it is.
I know I can, but I'm not. And then my wife goes, you know, I'm thinking about placing a bet on the Super Bowl. I said, really? She goes, well, everybody does. I said, I don't. And she goes, okay, but I'm thinking about doing that. I said, all right, go. How much should I put down? I don't know, honey. How about the mortgage to our house? Like, I don't care.
Yeah, everybody does.
Yeah, everybody. But she was going to go to a Super Bowl party, so she wanted to say, hey, I got money on the Super Bowl. And then she goes, who do I bet on? I said, Kansas City. Why? Just listen to me. Kansas City. Okay. But there. Wait, are they underdogs? I go, yes, they're going to win. Okay. So she went to her party and she had her ticket there. Oh, she was so proud. And she goes, how do I cash this thing? I go, I have no idea, honey. I love you, though.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Update the poll results if you can, Seton, before we get to the popular Reese Davis from College Game Day.
Well, Dan, is there one poll question that you would like to lead with? Are we? I mean, we could go with where would you rather watch the first 4 days of the tournament? We have a sportsbook or at the game. Sportsbook is dominating.
Yeah.
We have more dominant in the Davis field, Reese or Seth.
Mm.
Right now, Reese, 75% of that vote. And then we've got, if two Davises enter the octagon, which one comes out, Reese or Seth?
Yeah.
Reese dominating that one as well with 71% of the vote.
I never saw Reese angry in all those years I worked at the mothership.
He's essentially UConn this year.
Oh, he is?
He's just running right
through. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reese Davis, ESPN College Game Day host, play-by-play voice as well for the mothership. Congratulations. Guess you dominate Seth Davis, no relation.
No relation at all. Occasionally, we are mistaken for one another. I tell him it's a compliment to him and a great insult to me. So,
give me the difference. When you go to a college campus for football, college campus for basketball, what's the biggest difference in the crowds that you run into?
Monumental event in football, because everything builds to that singular day and the entire footprint of where the stage is for the show, Dan, is the event just feels bigger. College Game Day basketball, it's a little more intimate, I think, is probably the biggest thing. There's a huge feeling of anticipation when you get on campus for Game Day football. And it's more like you're joining a bunch of old friends, I think, when you go for basketball.
Tournament expansion, where do you stand on this? Seth Davis said it's not a question of if it's going to happen, it's when.
I'm not a big fan of it because I think it's already plenty big. So I think that's probably right that it's inevitable, but I think it's big enough now. We already have teams that we're upset about at the end of the line, and I had some differences, but not enough to really get angry about, because when you start talking about the difference between 68 and 69, it's not like arguing over Florida State, Georgia, as opposed to Alabama and Texas in football this past year. So I think it's plenty big enough, and I don't want to see it diluted to the point that the regular season is diminished more than it already has been.
Biggest surprise on Selection Sunday for you and everybody up there with you on ESPN was what?
I think it wasn't about inclusion. I think the biggest surprise to me was that UConn is the definitive number one team and overall seed, and I felt as if they really loaded up their bracket. I mean, I know we can be prisoners of the moment with all of the conference champions winding up in there, but I think it's also fair to say that they easily got the most difficult four seed in Auburn. I mean, Auburn's a team that you could pick to go to the Final Four if they weren't going to run into UConn on the other side. You also have the two in there, Iowa State, same thing. So, you know, you could argue they got the toughest two and the toughest four. And then they got Illinois, who with Terrence Shannon dropping 40 and 36 is capable of carrying a team sort of in that Kemba Walker fashion. So to me, the biggest surprise was they loaded up the region, in my judgment, for the team that is clearly the best team.
And they got to choose where they wanted to play, and then it's almost like, okay, you got to do that. It's like you're choosing the restaurant you're going to. We're going to choose the menu that you get to choose from. So I agree with you on that. Storylines with the men's tournament versus storylines for the women's tournament. Feels
women's
like, you know, the women, they're there for a couple of years, maybe usually three, if not 4 years, where the men's still the one and done. The difference in the storylines for you this year is how big?
I think you have the juggernaut versus the superstar storylines in the women's game, which, you know, is what Caitlin Clark has done in terms of selling out arenas, bringing attention, making people from all walks of sports life wanting to see her play is a phenomenon that we don't run across very often in college sports, and we should enjoy it. And then you have South Carolina, which appears to be all but invincible. So I think you have a couple of competing storylines there. And on the men's side, given UConn its due and the respect that it deserves, it still feels like the entire season was defined by juggernauts getting clipped. You know, we had a near record number of top 10 teams being beaten by unranked opponents. And I think that's sort of the storyline that the prevailing sentiment is. What exactly are we going to see in terms of who's going to wind up there? It's sort of like last year. I mean, you have Florida Atlantic and Miami and San Diego State all on the, and you know, and UConn wasn't a highly seeded team, but they were, I think everybody who watched the season knew how good they were. But I think there's a feeling of, will we see that type of upheaval again this year?
Is Connecticut sort of the, have they replaced Duke? Have they replaced, well, Kentucky hasn't really been up there. Mm-hmm. Indiana's not up there. Like, is Connecticut the team in men's college basketball?
They're the team, but they haven't replaced them because for a number of reasons, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions. I know they're on TV a lot, but they don't dominate television the way that Duke and Kentucky have and do. So I don't think there's the same level of disdain outside their immediate rivals. In execution and performance, yes, they're the team. And they sort of established that over the last couple of years, and they are that level from a performance standpoint. But I don't think there's the contempt, widespread contempt among other fans that you got for Duke and some of the others.
Well, it might be for their coach and Danny Hurley, but the team, I don't think there's, you know, any animosity, vitriol, right, that's directed to them. Duke, it's just wearing the jersey. Or Kentucky, yes, it's just wearing the jersey. And you might not like Calipari, and maybe you didn't like Krzyzewski, but with UConn, maybe it's Danny Hurley rubs you the wrong way.
I'm interested in this, because I think, have you had him on the show? Have you ever had Danny on the show?
Yes, last year.
Okay, and what do you think of him? He's a funny guy, but he's an odd bird.
Quirky.
I mean, and quirky is a good word. He'll admit that too. I mean, it's almost like Dan, you know, he does the lucky underwear thing. He does the sensory deprivation tank thing. If something's in the floor, like somebody threw a sweatshirt in his floor this year, I assume still wrapped up. So they won games, so he wouldn't move it, you know, until they lost. He stepped around it and stepped over it. And it's almost like Dan's a really smart guy, as you know. And it's almost as if he knows it's ridiculous and he knows it has nothing to do with him winning. But then there's that little piece of him that goes, but what if it does? I better not take a chance, you know? And it gives them great theater and drama around them, you know, whether he's yelling at a fan and all this stuff. He's a character, and it does bear some responsibility, because with the changeover in coaches, in my judgment, he is best positioned to be the face of college basketball. So the quirkiness, good. Maybe dial back the yelling at the fans here and there, and maybe that would be better for everybody.
Reese Davis, ESPN College Game Day host, play-by-play voice of the mothership as well. But you know what? I don't know if you did this. I did this when I did SportsCenter. There was a routine that I would have to do, and it's not quirky or OCD, but it borders on that of, mm-hmm, you know, this time I had to do it, this, I had to go watch this, I had to, like it was just weird. I needed to have some kind of schedule before I went to SportsCenter. You don't have that with College Game Day?
No, I do. I absolutely do. And it's, there are two things. The first one is for College Game Day football, especially, we have a truck driver named Tommy Marshall, who's always around the set. And I won't go up those stairs until Tommy and I have met at the bottom of the stairs, and we shake hands very formally, and then we hug. And when he's with us in basketball, I do it too. And in times when he's not with us in basketball, Tommy assigns someone to take that duty. So I do that. And when I sit down and I do this, whether this is game day, I started this on SportsCenter when I was doing raps too. I sort of say to myself, I call it the four P's. I want to have poise. I want to have presence. personality and preparation. And, you know, the poise, a lot of this, and I'm not trying to blow sunshine up your skirt, but a lot of this, because I've told people over the years when I first started and people were too afraid to call you, but they would call me to say, hey, I want to get better. I would say, watch Dan Patrick. I was saying, I don't try to imitate Dan's personality. Watch how Dan handles himself on camera. He's the gold standard. And I think that you've always had that poise and presence. And I don't recall us ever having that conversation, but I do credit you for taking that, because I feel like that if a light falls on the set in front of me, I don't want to panic and make the people at home uncomfortable. I want to push to the side and say, we're going to get that cleaned up for you. Meanwhile, Dan Hurley's worried about, you know, this matchup, and just continue on. And I feel like that you always had that grace and poise and presence. And but I say those four words to myself, and I want to hug Tommy, you know, before I go on. So I guess I'm got a little bit of Hurley in me too, I guess.
But I think the more prepared you are, the more poise you have, and the more poise you have, the more presence that you have. Mm-hmm. So I just think, you know, it's all about preparation. Yes. I remember one night doing SportsCenter and the roof was leaking. It was raining so hard, and I was on camera and I asked for a cup, and I just put a cup on the set, and I was collecting the rain on the set in Bristol. But we still had to do a show. It was live, yeah. but you could hear this bloop, bloop, and yep. It's splashing all over us. And I go, can I get a cup, please? It's raining in here. And then I just put it down there. I was like, all right, you know, whatever. Let me ask you about Nick Saban. How do you guys go to him? Does he come to you? How does that relationship work for him and TV?
Do you mean in terms of when he starts being with us on game day?
Yeah. Now it's full time. Now it's official. Not just let me do a cameo or two.
Yeah, right. I think we will spend some time going to him in the off season, and from what I've talked about, and I had a conversation.
But did he come to you guys that he wanted to do it, or did?
I see. This has been going on. I guess I can say this now. This has been out there and a possibility for several years. It was a matter of when Nick wanted to do it. So I feel like this is now, some of this is beyond me, although I was fully aware of it. I think this has been coming from us to him for quite some time. When you are ready, we are ready. In fact, I haven't said this. I have recently now, but I didn't for a year. What I said to him, Dan, at the championship game, Georgia TCU, was we were having a conversation there, and I said to him, I said, Nick, I said, as an Alabama alumnus, I would prefer that you be the head coach of the Crimson Tide forever. I said, as the host of College Game Day, I'm ready for you to join this set yesterday. I said, so whatever, you know, whatever I can do to help with that transition would be great. I said, because I think you'd be phenomenal on TV. And so we, you know, I think in that standpoint, the offer has been out there for him for quite some time whenever he was ready. And to be honest, when he opted not to do it last year, I had almost said, okay, well, this is just not going to happen. You know, there's always some reason that would draw him back to the field. So I'm thrilled for him, because I think he's going to enjoy this. And I'm delighted for us, because he's going to add another layer to our show that's hard to find in television. He's going to be great. He's already working his tail off on the draft, which is awesome.
You know, it's tricky, though, when you have that guy, that you got to be careful of how often you go to him. Like, he has to meet you guys, too. It has to be, you got to keep up with Herbie, Desmond, and that's what you're hoping for. Because I did that with Tony Dungy. I think I was trying to help him too much on the air instead of forcing him to kind of catch up and be with us. Not that he couldn't, but I think he was so used to being asked questions, because that's what, you know, these coaches wait for you to ask. Now you have to be involved in the conversation. And to me, that'll be something sort of behind the curtain that I'll be looking forward to watching.
That's a great way to put it, because I think, and I'd be interested to how you feel about this. It's a joke internally that if someone comes in to produce a segment, say we're doing a segment for SportsCenter, if they say, you know, Reese, tee up Kirk or whatever. I take offense at that. I always say, you want somebody to tee somebody up, get a trained SEAL. I've got stuff to do. And you said you used the phrase be involved in the conversation. Now, host needs to know his where the lines are and area of expertise. But being involved in the conversation is important for the host, and it's important for a new coach too, not to sit back and, you know, be looking at this as if he is the only expert, which he is the ultimate one as a coach. But, you know, Kirk's opinion does not get diminished. Desmond's opinion, Pat's opinion, those judgments and Lee's judgments, they don't get diminished. They are now folded into the group, and that's a great point. But I think the good news is that Nick has been extraordinarily respectful of everyone around him and aware of what goes into it, to the point where he constantly, even when he was just, you know, with us for a championship run or something, would talk to the producers about what do we need here? What, you know, what are you looking for from me? He really understands team, which I think is going to be of a great benefit to him.
All right.
And us.
Thanks again. Congrats again, buddy, for all your success. Thanks for joining us. And
likewise.
And roll Tide.
All right. We'll see you then. Go ESPN.
Yeah. Reese Davis of the Mothership, College Game Day host and play-by-play voice as well. Yeah, it's tricky when you have the legend there and then you want to defer to them. I always, and this is the analogy, and it may not make sense to you, but Baker Mayfield went to Odell Beckham Jr., I think, much to, you know, the regret of Baker Mayfield. He kept trying to make OBJ happy, and it didn't help the team. Sometimes when you have that presence there, you want to go to them and almost, like, hold their hand and help them do TV when it's up to them to catch up to you. Because that coach would never do that to a player. You know, Nick Saban's not going to do that, you know, to one of his quarterbacks, hold their hand. It's like, no, you catch up with us. And I think that'll be tricky because Reese has, you know, got Pat McAfee up here. And then you got Saban down here. As far as energy, voice, now you got to bring maybe Pat down a little bit and you have to bring Nick up a little bit. It's almost like, you know, when you're messing with the treble in the bass, when you're, you know, playing the stereo, that's what it is. You're trying to get, I got to get a little more treble over here. McAfee, a little more bass here. I don't know what the hell that means.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.